It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I guess everybody enjoyed their weekend. Yeah, nice.
Well, I hope they
wet
did.
Wet weather yesterday. And
oh, yeah. But you know what? I was on the road some this weekend, and I saw some areas that we need to talk about tonight, and that has to do with the people now that COVID is over with, and everybody's trying to get loose and get happy. They want to get on the road and go travel and go see all these people that's been in the houses and what have you. And you can tell I've still got some throat problems here. But I saw several cars on the side of the road, and they looked like they were heated up.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they lost a pan belt, a water pump, or this just got hot in the traffic. Just about every place I saw cars lined up. I mean, when I was going towards Orange Beach to a funeral yesterday, and when I went across the bayway, it was backed up all, you know, from, I said, oh, my goodness, look at everybody. They're backed up going in the tunnel. I kept going, you know, kept going east, kept going east, kept going east. They were still backed up. I kept going east. I got across the bayway. They still packed up. I get up to, Spanish Fort there at the intersection. Oh, they're still backed up. I'm going like, what?
Right.
And I get all the way to Loxley, man. And the traffic is backed up there. And I'm trying to figure, if I come back 3 or 4 hours from now from that funeral, am I going to try to get in that line? Or am I going to turn off up at, Loxley? And go across and hit 31 and come south on 31, try to get across the causeway, you know.
Right, right.
But it was unbelievable that they was. But I saw numerous cars pulled over the side to stop. Now, were they out of gas? I don't know.
Could have been, you know, or just overheated from sitting in traffic.
That's going to be a problem.
Hours worth of sitting in traffic will bite you some.
It will bite you, and you're going to have air conditioning problems.
Yep.
And then I saw some two cars on the side of the road with flat tires.
Yeah.
I mean, the tires looked decent from what I saw when I went by them, but and the cars looked like they were 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
I just figured they were original tires on there and that they were probably dry rotted, you know, with UV rays.
And that's a big problem that to have. You know, most people don't understand that tires have a lifetime, a life span. Rather, of about 5 years.
Right,
you
know, right.
Once you get to be about 5 years old, it's really time to be getting rid of them.
Well, you look at the tires, okay, and the tires look good. They still got a lot of rubber on them.
Yep.
And you say, well, I can get another 4 or 5 years out of those tires. You know, I only got 30,000 miles on my car.
Yeah.
But that's not it. You look at the tires real close, the tires are going to have cracks in them.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we've covered over the years is the fact that rubber is like concrete and it's like, you know, fiberglass and most of the plastic. It never stops curing.
Right, right. You know, one of my guys at shop, he bought a Firebird here, I don't know, a couple months ago. Went to Pensacola to pick it up. Got in it, coming back. You know, tires looked really good. I mean, they were in very good shape as far as the appearance. Was coming back, he noticed, it's got a little vibration to it. Yeah. And he's running along there. Didn't really think a whole lot about it. Left front tire blows out on it.
Whoa.
Takes the fender.
Oh, my
mirror,
Lord. Oh, no, no.
Busted the door.
No,
Took all the it knocked the nose loose on it. It did.
One of the early model Firebirds?
Yeah, well, one of the last body.
Holy cow.
Like 98 or 9, I believe.
Well, you know, a $110 tire probably cost him $4,000.
At least.
You know?
At least, yeah.
And some of that stuff's going to be hard to find.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is this particular Firebird – They don't make the ground effects anymore.
Oh, my
so
Lord.
You got to go on in search of,
right.
You know, looking for pieces. They finally got all the pieces to put it back together with, but I mean, we're months down the road, and he hadn't been able to enjoy his car,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But the tires look good when you bought it.
The tires look good.
Well, you know what? Prime examples. You know Star's car, my daughter.
Her Camaro.
She's got that Camaro. And we sold that car in 89, maybe 90, when she bought the Corvette. You know, she got in the Corvette deal. And we hadn't seen the car since then up until last year.
Two years ago, maybe?
About 2 years ago. Well, it had the same damn tires on it.
Right.
It had the same rims. It had the same tires. The guy had parked it in a shed or a garage or something somewhere. It didn't have but 3,000 miles on it, more than what it had back in the 80s.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it'd been setting up, and this guy bought it out of a storage building, out of a shed.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing, you know, she said, what do you think about the tires? I said, they got to go.
They got to go.
I said, they're 20, 30 years, 30 years old. What you talking about, baby? You know? No, they're going to pop and blow, and you're going to, like you said, tear off a fender or, you know, tear up something.
Tear up something you can't replace.
Right. You're going to tear up the inner fender well, gets into the motor, piece of the rubber, gets into the fan belt. Well, boom, boom, boom. Here you go.
That's assuming that you don't wreck the car and get hurt.
Right.
Yeah, because
I didn't even want to think about that.
Right. You know, it's it's like my 55 Chevrolet. It's got tires that are, a couple of them are 10 years old on the car. I don't drive it very far right now.
I would think.
Just for the simple fact that, you know, the car has been inside, never spent a night outside. So, you know,
well, the UV rate, the UV rate factors would not be bothering it there as far as forcing the drying out of the rubber and causing the cracks, but now they are dry rotted. That's a given.
Yeah, it is on the table. They're getting replaced. Or
I'll bet. I bet it's in line to be replaced.
Yeah, before it goes
with some of your other fleet.
Exactly. You know, before it goes anywhere significant, it's more than just around town. It's going to get replaced for sure.
Right.
You know, and it's just something you got to do. Yeah, I've actually had brand new tires that had never been mounted that I had sit around too long. I just had to get rid of them.
Oh, I know where it is. I know where it is. $12,000 worth of tires.
Yeah.
At a dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the inventory. They were inside of a building, but you can't sell them.
Right.
Because they're over 5 years. Right. You know, they're over 5 years old. They're like 7 years old, 8 years old. And they're brand new tires, man. I mean, some of them are $500 tires.
Right.
And they still got the stickers on them, you know, what brand. And I mean, but you can't use it.
Right.
You know? Right. Because, I mean, if you put it on a decent car, like you say, tire blows out, you either wreck, tear up, or mess up your car.
Right.
Well,
right.
That being said, now, the air conditioning facet of it and our temperature deal is something we really need to consider.
Right.
We have some text.
We do have one text coming in. Someone wanting us to explain the tire warranty. You know, where, you know, like Goodyear's have, you know, some of them rated up 60,000 miles. Michelin, you know, up higher than that. Some people think that there's that basically gives them a free tire no matter what.
No, it don't work that way.
Now, if you damage that tire, hit a curb with it, hit a speed breaker too hard, and it'll pinch that tire on the inside. Won't look bad on the outside, but it can pinch it on the inside. And you know, there's a lot of things you can do to it. Run it low on air. If it's got a nail in it, you know, they're not going to warranty it.
Right. Or if it's got a hole in it where it's been patched.
Right. If it's been repaired.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to warranty the tire for that. Alignment wear issues. And even if everything else goes right and you've kept your air pressure right and you haven't hit anything and nothing's damaged and that tire separates, blows out, has a failure of some sort. Yes, it is warranty, but it'll still be prorated.
Right.
You know, you're still going to pay for the portion that you used. So,
yep. They can measure the height and the depth of the tire, the rubber, and they know what it came from the factory.
Right.
They know how much you wore off of it, and, you know,
yeah.
you've got 9/16 wear or
right.
rubber or whatever, and right. you've worn two of it off, then they go prorate it for whatever.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still a good warranty. But, yep. You know. Trust
but
me,
you got to realize that it's touching the ground.
Yeah.
It's the wear factor on a car.
Yep.
It's like brake pads.
Exactly.
And brake rotors, you know, windshield wipers.
Yep.
Anything that is physically touching the ground, anything that's got a wear factor to it, it's going to be prorated.
Right.
They prorate the roof on your house.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly. We're going to have to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors. We do have a caller online holding. If you'll hang on, we'll get to you after this break.
I got my first truck when I was 3, drove 100,000 miles on my knees, hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we do have a caller online here. Jason was having an issue with your brake light coming on. Jason, you with me? Hello, Jason.
Hello?
Yes. Hello, Jason. You there?
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah. I bought a 2021 Honda Civic. It had 7 miles on it when I bought it. I was playing around with a parking brake and when I first got it, and I think I might have actually set the parking brake or not set it right way or something. I was riding through downtown Mobile the other night, and right in the center of the odometer, like the cluster, the word brake pops up and it goes right off. Hmm. Well, it did that one other time the next night, and it did it a couple days ago. Well, I got home that afternoon and I was reading the book, and it said something about having your seatbelt on, depressing the brake when you set the parking brake or whenever you release it. Could that be the reason? Because the brake fluid's full.
Yeah, and now is this an electronic parking brake or is it a pull handle? It's electronic? Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I would expect to see much more bells and whistles and lights and warnings if that electronic brake system was giving you an issue. It's possible, you know. It's possible that it just was not released properly, but normally, you know, those electronic ones, once they see motion in the car, like you have put it in gear and tried to accelerate and get going, it'll automatically release it so you don't burn the brakes up, okay?
Well, I was just saying because I was reading the book and it said, you know, put your seatbelt on, depress the brake pedal, engage the parking brake, and actually do the same in reverse. And
right.
It hadn't come back on since then, knock on wood. You know, it'd probably come on tonight. But,
and that may have been what it is. That's a little strange. You know, of course, it's a little different from our system, I'm sure. But I know ours, if you go to take off and it's still got the parking brake on, it'll release it for you. But,
I called the dealership. I called the dealership, and they said that was the only thing they could think of. Either the brake fluid's low or it wasn't properly released. So
right.
I'm just gonna, I went through the motions and actually set it the way the book said do it.
Right.
Released it the way the book said do it. I'm gonna see if that works. But I was just curious if you had any other people call in about the same issue. Or
no, can't say I've heard that one. And those would be the two things I would go to is the brake fluid and the parking brake. Because if you had a analog brake problem, there's a different indicator for that. You know, and there's other things that would come on other than just the red brake light. If it was something other than that, but give it a shot, see what it does, you know. And being a new car, if you got an issue, you know, I would definitely get it back to them, you know.
I love the little car, man. The gas mileage is killer. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
By the way, what does it get?
It gets about 38 in the city and about 42 on the highway.
Dang, that's cool.
Yeah.
And that's a Volkswagen.
That Toyota Tacoma I had. It got about 14 in the city and about 16 on the highway. So.
Yeah. And that's a little truck.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, bud. I appreciate you listening.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. But, Yeah, there's whole new kind of systems on these vehicles now, and we were talking today, and it's not getting any more simple.
No.
It's getting harder and harder.
Yeah.
There's parking brakes. You know, I actually had one on a rack, and I was kind of rocking it forward and backwards on a drive-on rack listening for a noise. Well, it sensed the movement in the wheels and locked the parking brake.
What?
So I couldn't do it. What? Key was off. I mean, it wasn't running. It was off, just sitting there. And it stopped itself from moving.
Say what?
Yeah.
You come on.
Yeah. So it's
so they're smarter than you are.
Well, they've been smarter than me for years, but it's just
Well,
I'm just trying to hold my own.
Computers that are on these cars would take us to Mars and back. So
Yeah.
You know, they're that sophisticated.
I just try not to let them know how stupid I am.
Oh, so yeah, yeah. Just don't admit anything.
No, you can't show fear.
You got to bluff them, baby.
It's kind of like dealing with a dinosaur. You know, they'll attack if you show fear or something. You know,
if you show fear, that's
right. They're on you. But
that's cool.
Yeah,
that is cool. All right. Yeah,
but yeah, they're the electronic systems on these cars are just incredible. You know, of course. That's kind of led us into the situation we're in right now. We can't get cars because we can't get the computer chips to finish building them.
And the chips, which control the modules and, control the little computers that control the accessories and things on them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've also noticed in town, there's not many car lots that have a full inventory of vehicles.
I would be willing to bet there's not a car lot anywhere with a full inventory, of vehicles.
Yeah.
We actually started getting, I was kind of happily surprised that we started getting a fair amount of vehicles in here this over the weekend and into last week.
Good, man. It's good, yeah.
Hopefully that keeps up, being one of the higher volume GM dealers in the area, our allotment's a little bit larger than some of the others, so we get more than they do,
Well, that's cool.
There's got to be an advantage to sell more.
Right, that's the advantage of, being a big dealer, a big volume dealer, those computers expect to send you a large number of cars, so they're going to keep sending you a few of them as much quicker than they would a small dealer.
Well, they're going to send them where they know they're going to get sold.
Right.
Okay, so. And trust me, we've been selling them as fast as we get them in.
Well, your inventory is starting to move again.
Well, we're getting some more in. The problem is most of them are kind of spoken for before they hit the ground. If they're not spoken for when they hit the ground, they're spoken for a few minutes later.
Right. So, within a matter of minutes or so. Yeah.
So they're.
I bet you're not sending any to any other dealers though.
Oh no. No.
Just call blog here.
That's right.
This car gonna be sold right here. Selling it in Dothan.
I hadn't figured out what I'm trying to do is figure out when a transporter comes in and they've got a truck full of vehicles, but only one or two of those are ours. How I can hold it hostage and get the rest of them off there before you can leave.
You could go out there with an ice pick or something, cut a tire or two. Man, what'd you run over us? You must have run over a nail out here in the parking lot when y'all come in over here.
Right. Yeah. You just need to unload those here. That way you ain't going to be able to go down the road.
Just unload them right here. We'll take care of them. And whatever they need to go, we'll drive them over there.
Yeah.
They're on the ground. They're going to be sold.
Exactly. Unfortunately, they're already pre-invoiced to another dealer, but I'm just joking about that part. But
find it.
Yeah, that's right.
Chase the paper. Chase the guy's already put 50,000 miles on the car.
Yeah. So it happens. But we have had truckloads of complete truckload of Corvettes come in. It's like I know they didn't order a full truckload of Corvettes. We sell Corvettes. We work on Corvettes, all that kind of stuff. But we're not a huge Corvette dealer. There's dealers around that they pride themselves in being the Corvette dealer in their areas and that kind of stuff. So it is very specialized, at that point. But we do what we need to do and take care of those cars.
There you go.
But you know, that's not our primary goal. We sell way more trucks than we do anything else.
There you go. Well, you know, there's been more trucks sold and more people are buying trucks than they are the cars now because a truck has the same luxury as a car does.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember that the wheelbase of that truck is so much larger than that car that it's going to ride better.
Yep, yep. Well, the trucks, it wouldn't take a whole lot to ride better than something that's sitting about 3 inches off the ground. Okay, so the Corvettes are incredible machines. They handle great. They really ride very well for what they are.
Excuse me, but I'm not going to lay down and roll in a car. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the new ones actually have a lot more room in the cockpit because of the reconfiguration of the motor and all that. I've actually been pleasantly surprised about how much more room you have once you get in it. But you're still laying on the ground.
They're awesome once you get in there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I probably told it on the show before. My daughter's got one. What is it, a Z7 or something?
Hers is a C7, I believe.
Yeah.
15 mile.
Yeah. 15 mile. And, I mean, we was running up the road. I was driving it in about 75 or so. She said, kick it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm already doing 75. Kick it. I said, all right, bam. I floated it to the floor and it said, Rrr! I'm going like, what? What are we talking about here? You know?
And it's the basically the lower end performance package of the Corvette.
It's as much as I want. We don't have no Autobahns here to drive on, like in Germany.
So. It's still 460 something horsepower or whatever. You know,
and they got tires on them. It looked like drag tires, except they got tread on them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And now the aerodynamics of the vehicle, it is a purebred race car.
Oh, yeah.
Or a sports race car.
They are. I tell you, the new ones are the little bit that I've driven the new ones at this point, it's got the dual clutch transmission, which is really a standard shift transmission with internal clutches. Two clutches, matter of fact. One clutch handles the odd gears and one clutch handles even gears.
Right.
And it shifts itself like an automatic. You'd never know it was a standard shift unless I told you. Yeah. But all you do is you push drive and it's
automatic.
It's in there waiting for you to take off. And when you take and go mash the gas, you'll feel it apply the clutch. You know, but it does it all by itself. Yeah. So
ooh, baby.
It's a neat deal. So been very, very good so far. But we're gonna let you hear from our sponsors and we'll be back.
Pair of boots and a sack of clothes, free and easy down the road I go. Hanging memories on the highline poles, free and easy down the road I go. Free and easy down the road I go.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramble along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number. But we're talking about getting cars ready for travel and for, doing our summertime activities, it's that time where it's here. We got a call. Yeah, okay.
Let's go ahead and see who it is.
Sorry. I got sidetracked there.
Yep. It's all right.
Caller, are you on there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. What can we do for you?
Got a 2020 Ford F-250. When the truck sits for a couple of days, you get in the truck and crank it up, put it in gear, take your foot off the brake, and usually that truck starts rolling ahead just real slowly.
You
apply a little bit of accelerator to it, and this is with the 6.7 diesel.
Uh-huh.
You apply a little bit of accelerator to it, and the truck does not move.
Hmm.
You apply a little bit more, and it slowly starts moving and then takes off like normal. It does it both in forward and reverse.
Yeah. Now, when you say it doesn't move, is the motor revving up and the
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So it acts like it's slipping or something?
Well,
it does act like it's slipping.
Right.
It's got less than 8,000 miles on it.
Yeah, and what's probably going on, and I don't know about their particular transmission, after it sits for a while, the torque converter is one of the higher components in the transmission that has fluid in it. And what will happen is that fluid will start draining back down. And if you were to crank it up and let it sit and idle for, 10, 15, 20 seconds maybe, it probably would – go ahead and take off once you put it in gear. Yeah,
wouldn't do that.
That actually doesn't help it.
Really?
What does is if you keep it in park for a second and rev it up just a little bit, which I hate to do to a cold diesel engine.
Right.
Not that we have that problem this time of year.
Yeah.
But that's what seems to help it out.
Yeah. And what you're doing is getting it to pump and bring the fluid into the converter and that. It's very possible that there's a check valve problem in the transmission. I don't know exactly on that particular transmission whether it has a provision to keep the fluid from running back into the pan. All of them will run back into it some. And I've seen that, even in some of our stuff from time to time, if it sits for a while. But usually after you put it in gear and give it a little gas at one time, it goes and is not an issue anymore for the rest of the day. Yeah.
Right.
But I would touch base with them. If that's an issue or if it's not an issue, they should have the ability to contact their technical force with Ford, and they should be able to give you an explanation of what's going on and whether it's a concern or not.
I got you.
A lot of things that seem concerning to you, me, the general public, whatever, is not necessarily detrimental to the life of the vehicle. We've had noise concerns over the years and different things that and just throw an example out there is some of our old 6-liter GM motors in the past were noisy when they cranked up cold. And then once they warmed up, they were quiet, everything was good. And basically GM went back and they did durability tests and they pulled motors back out of the field, that had been run, several hundred thousand miles, tore them down, no wear issues whatsoever. So, this is just a characteristic of it. It's not detrimental to the life of the motor. So, they should
thank
be able
you
to.
Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
All right. Hey, another viewpoint.
Yeah.
Sure.
I would go on record with advising the dealership what's happening and make a record of it.
In it case. Got dropped off at the dealership today.
There you go, buddy. You're thinking. There you go. Get on record with it. Get it in the computer in case you have a problem because those transmissions are not cheap.
Exactly.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your help.
All right. Have a blessed day. You listening. And that really, it brings up a point to where if you have a concern. That's what we're there for, bring it to us, let us check it, make sure. I mean, if it's something that's extremely common, we may be able to tell you over the phone, so now we see this, there's bulletin such and such, 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 that covers that. It's not detrimental. If you want to bring it in, let us check and verify that that is what we're talking about, then, that's great.
Right, that's the thing to do.
Or we can say, no, that's a sign of a problem coming. So, bring it in, let us get it taken care of before it is a real problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Get it on record.
Right. So there, we have another caller. Caller, you with us?
Hey guys.
Hey, what do for you?
I have a car question, actually a truck question. And my question is I have a 2006 Toyota Tacoma.
Okay.
And I've had the check engine light on for a long time about the mass airflow sensor.
Right.
I replaced the mass airflow sensor, and we replaced all of the coil packs.
Right.
Because we're getting reduced, the truck's getting reduced energy and that sort of thing.
Right, right.
And it's getting reduced miles per gallon. Like, I'm getting 275 miles to a tank instead of 375 miles to the tank, you know, and it
right, right.
feels like it's skipping and sounding terrible. So all that stuff that the typical things that would cause that have been replaced,
mm-hmm.
but we're still getting the check engine light almost immediately. And so the mechanic that I used thought that maybe the central computer might be corroded.
Right.
And I was wondering what you think about that, if that's a possibility.
Well, you know, and that is a possibility. Probably wouldn't be my first thing to jump on.
It's not the first thing. It's kind of been a process of elimination
right.
at this point, you know.
Right.
So if you have any other advice, it'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing, are you running a factory air filter, or are you running like a K&N or a extended life filter?
I think when I replaced it not that long ago, I think I replaced it with something from Advanced Auto Parts. I don't remember which brand I bought, but it wasn't like the super cheap one, you know, for $7
right.
or whatever. It was the $27 one or whatever it was.
Right.
Kind of thing.
But you're still running the paper filter type air filter?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. You know, because I have seen issues. They you know, like K&N and Spectrum, and there's several other brands out there that
sure.
run an old cotton filter. And a lot of times what will happen is, you know, it'll be over-oiled and will get on the mass airflow sensor and make it not read properly. And even if you put a new one in, it doesn't take long to contaminate it. So, you know, be careful there.
Okay.
You know, I guess I would have to, you know, one of the first things I would want to look at is to make sure that you don't have an air leak somewhere in the intake system, whether it be in front of the throttle body or behind the throttle body. It can be between your air filter and the throttle body somewhere, not sealing off properly, or
okay.
a restriction on it, or you can actually have it behind the throttle body, which would be a vacuum leak, and it could be causing issues there. Anything that will disrupt the airflow or let it get more air than it's expecting to need at that RPM and load can set that mass airflow code. So,
make it run, you know, I have to crank it twice every time I crank it, you know, or nearly every time I have to crank it twice, and I've never had a problem with it dying on me or anything. It just feels like it's struggling, you know.
Right, right. You know, you may very well be getting an exhaust system stopped up on it. It wouldn't hurt to run by a muffler shop and let them check the converters, or someone, you know, even your
okay.
mechanic, if he's got a back pressure gauge, to check the back pressure on the catalytic converters. If they're getting stopped up, anything that you got to remember, it's just a big air pump. Anything that disrupts that airflow in or out will cause issues with mass airflow and
gotcha.
Power. And power.
Well,
yeah.
That being said, you could have had the problem when you changed that mass airflow sensor out, and once you changed the mass airflow sensor out, and then it would have corrected it, but the damage would have already been done to the converters.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you could put that on, and then you could add all this other stuff on it. You're still going to have the problem because the converters could be messed up, and they could be messed up from that original misfire. And bad fuel mixture and air mixture from the mass airflow sensor.
Right.
I got you.
See yeah. what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, we'd fix race cars, and we'd fix them and fix them and fix them, and you go back and go, uh-oh, the first part that I replaced was the right part, but it triggered something else down the line that, you know, that's causing our problem, and we could just keep throwing parts at it. And, you know, I've changed cylinder heads. I've changed carburetors and distributors and everything else. You know, it was the first part.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's probably a direction I would go with is look at the exhaust system closely before I spend a bunch more time on the rest of it. Sounds like you've pretty well gone over the rest of the system. Don't know if you've cleaned the throttle body or not yet, but that's probably something that needs to be done if it has not been done.
Yeah, I mean, at 2006, you know, it's 15 years old now, and I'd never had any issues with it kind of thing.
Right.
And then this creeped up, and we, you know, started doing small, you know, trying to do the small stuff that was throwing the codes and,
Yeah, you know, and that's the problem with codes a lot of times is, you know, just because it's set one code doesn't necessarily mean that that component is the problem. You know, something else may have triggered a issue that made that reading wrong, you know. So check your, you know, clean your throttle body good and get your exhaust system checked, and let's go from there, okay?
All right. I appreciate your time. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Bye.
We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dan. I heard that old jukebox playing a song about a truck driving man. So pour me another cup of coffee, for it is the best in the land. I'll put a quarter in the jukebox and play the truck driving.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Let's see, where were we going earlier? We were talking about maintenance and stuff
I'd like to get back to the maintenance on these vehicles. And we brought this up, and we talked about it before, was the fact that in the past, you know, in years, we would drive our cars around town and all, but we didn't want to take them on a long trip, so we'd just run down and lease a car. They're $25, $30 a day.
No,
it don't work that way no more, you know?
Exactly.
But that's all gone. So now... Yep. What we really need to do is make sure that our cars are roadworthy,
right?
And make sure that you get them to a proficient and person that experienced technician to check these vehicles over. Now, give us an insight. But you being a dealer and shop foreman and all that at UJ, y'all do a lot of this. Mm-hmm. What kind of services do you guys perform for someone like myself or whatever that wants to have his car made roadworthy and checked for service, and what are some of the things that you look for?
Well, you know, it's really basic. I mean, it's not rocket science on trying to maintain your car. Your car's got this neat little thing in it. It's called a maintenance manual that comes with every new car.
Where's that at?
It's probably on your nightstand or something.
Shelf and my desk.
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's not in your car, okay? But it's, you know, if it happened to have been in your car, you know, you could look at it.
It was in there one time.
Yeah. You could open it up and look and see what's due for maintenance. You know, at what mileage. You know, but one of the things that we do that
enlighten you to something. Mm-hmm. They got this thing called internet.
Yeah.
And you can get on your little phone thing and or your little computer thing, and you can get on the internet. And you can put your car numbers and all in there, you know, your years and everything. Right. And you can put on there, you could say, what do I need to check before I make a road trip?
Yeah, you know.
Does that work?
That That will work. That will work. Okay. Yeah, it's better to be more specific about your own particular car, but that's I could live with that.
Well, people like myself, we can't find a damn book. We gotta go somewhere. Right.
Forgot which nightstand you left it
yeah,
on. So, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Which house did I leave it in?
Right. But,
and whose night chef was it on?
Right. No, it's the biggest thing is really you want to change your fluids. You know, change your oil, change your filter. Check your air filters, check your cabin air filter, you know, check your transmission fluid, check for leaks, you know, check, make sure your axle seals and transmission seals and all that stuff. The brakes are in decent shape, no brake fluid leaks. Make sure your windshield, you know, you'd be surprised how important windshield washers get when you're out on the road and
right.
you got a bunch of bugs hitting your windshield and you can't see nothing.
If you can't remember when you changed your windshield wiper blades, change your blades.
Right. You know, and because none of us think about the windshield wiper blades until you get on the highway and you can't see where you're going in the middle of a rainstorm. Yeah, that's when I think about mine. And as soon as it quits raining, I forgot about them again.
So, oh, yeah. Well, there's other important things, you know.
Yeah. I actually did remember it on my wife's car, you know, last time.
Oh, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she didn't even ask me. She didn't ask
that
me.
You and your size would be hell on a couch.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But, we just really just need to do, you know, a quick once over of the car. You know, checking the tires, checking the tire pressures, make sure the tires are in date and any sign of damage or nails or, you know, dry rotting or any of that kind of thing. Look for irregular wear, you know, that, you know, a lot of times you can look at the outside half of the tire, which you can kind of walk up to the car and look at very easily. And it'll look great, but the inside of the edge of the tire will be wore slap out.
Right.
You know,
that's
be
so
down
true.
In the metal.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, for someone that's a do-it-yourselfer that may be really interested in checking on the tire deal and talking about the five-year plan that we've discussed, where on the tire could they look to find the date that tire was produced?
Well, it's the DOT number, and in that DOT number there should be a little football-looking oval outline with four numbers in it. Okay.
Right.
The first two numbers will be the week of the year that tire was built.
So if it's a 2-2, that means it's 22nd week.
22nd week.
Okay.
And this next two digits will be the year it was done. So
it
was done.
So like 22-19.
Right. So it was done the 22nd week of 2019.
Okay.
What's going to get, you know, I was going to say it would change over in a different decade, but it's still, we're way away from that being an issue at this point.
Right.
But, you know, there's, you know, if it's more than 5 years old, it's due. Okay,
if it's more than 5 years old, you don't need to get on the interstate. We're loaded down, and you know, three or four people or adults and our kids, and then all of the gear and luggage and everything that goes with it, the cooler and sandwiches and you know, and all of those adult beverages you got back there that's getting cold while you're on the road. You're gonna blow a tire somewhere.
Exactly. We do have a text here I'd like to get to before we get out of here tonight. But let's see. I've got a 2007 Chevrolet 2500 HD, and the blower motor speed wiring has melted several times.
Ooh.
What is the ultimate fix for it? Well, the big thing is you've got to replace three components at one time. You know, the ultimate issue is that the blower motor was drawing too much current, which overheated the resistor, which caused the wiring to burn. Okay. But you got to buy the connector and move back to where the wires are good and splice it in, do a very good job of splicing that in.
Do you need to solder them or can you put those sleeves on them and heat sleeves?
A good splice will work. Soldering's best.
Okay.
Yeah.
You talking about a crimp splice? You're not talking about
not a
finger twist?
No. I'm talking about a heat shrink Butt splice that actually has a low temp solder in it.
Okay.
Like our connectors come with those in the package with the connector.
Okay. All right. You say that ours, you talk about General Motors?
General Motors, yeah. Okay. The blower speed controller, which is the blower resistor, it needs to be replaced, and the blower motor needs to be replaced at the same, all at the same time.
Mm.
Because say you replace the wiring to the resistor, well, it burnt the terminal on that resistor, and it's going to have a bad connection, which is going to generate more heat, which is going to burn that again.
That's a given if that motor's froze, burnt, or the wire's burnt.
If the wire's burnt, the motor needs to be replaced, because that's what ultimately caused the problem, was the motor's drawing too much current. Okay,
but it's also a given that the resistor is destroyed.
Well, you've destroyed the connector and the resistor because of the overheating from the blower motor. Is drawing too much. So it's it all runs back around. You have to replace those three components as at one time, or at least inspect and make sure if the resistor is just burnt up internally and it hasn't burnt the wires. Then you can just put a resistor on it and the blower motor and be fine and not have to do the connector. But more than likely, that connector is going to be burnt.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah, and that's generally what your real indicator is the wires at the resistor be burnt, and you'll have to go in and replace the blower motor, the resistor, and that part of the harness, and then you should be good to go, yeah. But, Philip, does that sound like we're running out of time here? Okay. But I do want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. I will be back next week. And, Tom?
If the good Lord lets me, I'll be here as well.
Yeah.
And to all of our veterans and first responders out there, God bless you. We appreciate all your service. We appreciate what you do. And from an old vet to all you guys and gals, hoorah. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some hell behind them brakes. Let it all hang out.